Welcome to Combo Smite, the War Machine and Horde's Battle Report podcast brought to you by an Imperial Lackey, an overpowered Swan, and an angry Elf.
Welcome to Combo Smite. This week's podcast is brought to you by Borka's Black Label Beer. Strong enough to kill a Signarin, blind a Cadoran, or just barely make troll women attractive. My name is Mark, I play Signarin and Menoth. And UGLY, they ain't got no alibi. They're ugly.
I'm Nick. I play Retribution and Mercenaries at the moment, and starting to dip into Legion a bit. And Mark, your radio voice is much more impressive in person.
Thank you.
So bombastic.
Damn it.
I'm Aaron. I play Kador and Mercenaries. And maybe Convergence one day.
If you ever finish with the Flash.
Oh my god, don't even bring that up. It's so bad.
So, this week saw the forces of the mercenaries, specifically Highborn General Osrim, going up against my Protectorate. It was supposed to be a game of Kador versus Protectorate, because we had a new Menoth player into the faction, and he's got a fully painted army, and Aaron plays fully painted, so it was going to be awesome. But then Aaron had this thing called, how do you pronounce it? Work?
Employment?
that was it.
Employment.
And so, unfortunately, he couldn't make the game. So, as a result, Nick and I stepped up to the plate. But before we get to that, news and announcements. Now, we're projecting this into the future, so this will go live on Monday. But right now, at this moment, Lock and Load is happening, which I'm super sad that we can't attend.
But there was some cool stuff that was announced, actually. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but they just kind of... It's the teasiest of teasers. Almost, like, no information whatsoever, just some teaser, like, basically just conceptual drawings. But there's, like, this cool drawing of these three different dudes that are supposed to be a possible new mercenary character unit.
Ooh.
Also, a new Kador Warjack, which is going to be on the Berserker chassis, so it's kind of cool. And also, what looks like it's supposed to be a new character, Retribution Jack, which also is going to be some kind of new chassis.
I did see that. It looks pretty badass. Yeah, although I hate the fact it's holding the swords backwards.
I don't know. If the rules are good, I'll play it.
Fair enough.
That's fairly easily modded, though.
Yeah.
They also announced their new Lock and Load exclusive models, the Gobber Drudges.
Those, yeah, they're kind of silly.
Most ridiculous looking things ever.
It might be interesting if I had any interest in Cephalax, but I don't.
Because you have taste. And sorry, Todd. Sorry. Todd actually likes that faction for whatever reason. So yeah, some of the releases look kind of interesting. And they've also released pictures for the new Absalonia.
Yes.
No stats yet, but she herself looks pretty legit.
Very cool. Yeah, it makes me happy that I'm starting to toe into Legion.
Yeah, it should be interesting. And they also released the... the new Journeyman Warlocks. Again, no stats, but they've put up on the site that the Falconer and...
No, we have all the stats. So they were, were out at Tepicon, or ended up Tepicon.
Whatever it was. Yeah. So they just put them up on the website for sale then?
Well, they're about to be actually released for real.
There we go.
Next month or something like that.
Okay. So I wasn't insane, just mostly insane.
No. But the stats are all in war.
This week's battle report, as I mentioned, Mercenaries versus Menoth. We have now finished the 35-point tournaments that we were preparing for, so we've gone back to 50 points, which I'm very happy about. I really like 50-point games. I also like 25 and 15, but I find 50s to be the best. And as a result, we got to field what I consider to be full armies again. And also because we're not practicing for a tournament coming up, I've started to spread out a bit from my Menoth Warcasters, which is to say that I've been playing anyone besides Epic Fiora and the Harbinger, which is the only two Warcasters I've been playing for the last 6 months. People are getting a bit sick of it, and I figured it's time to try some new ones. So, to this game, I decided to bring a Prime Fiora list, who I think is really cool. The model's really pretty, if I ever get around to painting her. And a Prime Krios list, who I think is probably the easiest Warcaster in the game. He's got a really no-nonsense feat, he's got a great spell list. As long as you can keep him alive, he works for you. I showed both of my lists to Nick. And he had three lists that he was thinking about, and then eventually decided, okay, well, he's going to pick between these two, and the two lists he had, I don't remember why specifically, I decided not to go with Krios. I think one of them was Gorton, who had the no-knockdown bubble, and Pete Krios really hates seeing no-knockdown bubbles, even though theoretically he could purify it off. It's just, it's complicated. So I decided to go with Fiora, and hope for the best, because, you know, POW 12 fire damage rolls aren't always very effective against dwarves, but you had some squishier infantry, thankfully. So the list I ended up with was Prime Fiora with a Hierophant and a Reckoner. She was bringing a full unit of Exemplar Errants with their officer and standard, a full unit of Holy Zealots with the Monolith Bearer, a max unit...
by the way, if I ever play Monolith, or sorry, if I ever play Menoth, I am modding the Monolith Bearer to be a bear.
A Monolith Bearer. Got it. Got it.
Anyway, continue.
Thank you. A max unit of Bastions.
Will it be a Care Bear?
Just a bear.
Oh, but it has to go with your My Little Pony.
It's a Monolith Bear.
can't get past the Bastions. A max unit of Bastions, a Bastion Seneschal. And the Seneschal was marshaling two Repenters. Those are the 4 points, light warjacks with the flamethrowers. A minimum unit of Choir, a unit of Racks, the Covenant of Menoth, and Rupert Carvolo. Overall, it's a pretty good list. The two Repenters on the Bastion Seneschal is interesting, but I'm not convinced it's good. The problem is that this army already has a lot of infantry clearing, and the Repenters are really specialized at taking out infantry. They're not that great. But one of them, maybe, and then maybe a Vigilant for the two-handed throws, or maybe drop both of them and put in a Sanctifier. I don't know. But either way, for a relatively new list, I'm pretty happy with it. Now, what about you, Nick? What were the two lists you were bringing?
So I brought, one of my list was a Gorton. Oh, by the way, I was playing non-character restricted because I just don't own enough mercs yet. So, I mean, I think all my lists had Alexia and all my lists had Boomhallers. All my lists had Gun Mages. Just because I was just, I wanted to try these packages out with different casters.
Yeah.
One of my lists was Gorton with tough Nis and tough Boomhallers with no knockdown from solid ground. With like Alexia and Gun Mages and other stuff. And so that was just kind of designed primarily around abusing the no knockdown tough. And just kind of the Earthbreaker punching things to death very easily because it's like strength 24. And then the list I went with was actually Osram, running almost the same list. It was Osram with an Earthbreaker. He had full boom howlers, gun mages, Dougal and Thor, Alexia, and what else was in there? And I put Gaston Cross for fun.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
He didn't do anything.
Spoilers!
I like him, though. He's a cool solo, definitely has potential, and he didn't do nothing. But anyway, he was not that important in this game.
He's also got a really neat sculpt. I like the alternate sculpt. Well, I suppose technically it's the original sculpt.
You like the standard sculpt or the Kickstarter sculpt?
I like the Kickstarter sculpt.
Okay.
I don't think I've seen the standard sculpt yet.
He has his gun out, which is kind of good. Oh. Seeing how no one takes him for his knives. Anyway. So that was my list. And I went with the Osram list. Basically, the idea behind this list is just like a lot of chaff. And an Earthbreaker with something like 22-inch assassination range, which is, you know, I've heard that's pretty legit.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. Half the table with an Earthbreaker.
It's okay.
So now that you've played it, what would you change?
I don't know. I really don't know. The list is pretty good, I think, actually. The Gun Mages didn't do much. Boom Howlers were awesome, though.
Gaston.
Gaston was kind of a waste of points, I suppose. Because there was not... He was kind of just camping his focus most of the game. Mm-hmm. So he didn't do much. It was fun.
Okay. So why don't we talk a little bit about the scenario?
The scenario was fire support. That is with the two flags kind of on the thirds, on the thirds of the board. Each one has an objective, 4 inches from it. One of them is friendly and one of them is enemy for each player. You have to destroy the enemy objective on your flag in order to control or dominate it. You get one for controlling and two for dominating.
I want to like this scenario.
I do like it.
I think the problem is that I don't have any of my, light artillery for the Menoth painted up yet. Well, which is kind of sad.
Does this one do that? Is it?
I thought this one was
it. Maybe it is. I don't know.
No, I thought it was. Either way, I'm 50-50 on it. It's not bad. It's certainly not one of the worst scenarios, and compared to some of the ones I had in 2013, it's just downright fantastic.
Mm.
Okay, we rolled for initiative, which I won and chose to go first. Nick, why'd you pick the side of the table you did?
I picked that side of the table mostly because I didn't want to deal with the water. It probably was the wrong side of the table, I think, because the hill was closer to your side, which means that you were going to get there before me.
Mm.
You probably still would have, even if I picked that side of the table. This made it worse.
Yeah.
So that was probably a mistake, just for the hill alone.
Mm.
Choosing the side with the forest, it did limit where I could put all my stuff. Because nothing in my army except for the Oathbreaker was had Pathfinder.
Right.
So that was a little tricky.
Interesting. Despite this, the water on my side actually was a bit of a handicap because I don't know if you guys are aware, but Bastions, they're hella slow. Like, they make the dwarves fast in comparison. And they've got medium bases, so trying to get them up the table with only a third of the table to work with. And there was a big house on my side as well. So moral of the story is that I was not happy that Nick took the side of the table he did. But that being stated, you know, you work with what you get. So I set up with Rupert and the Covenant going on the far left side. Then the full unit of Holy Zealots, the Reckoner and Fiora went in the middle with the Vassal and the Choir behind them. Then the two Repenters with the Bastion Seneschal between them, and then the unit of Bastions on the far right side, as far away from the water as I could get them, basically. And then my Exemplar Errants went more or less in the middle of the table across from the Earthbreaker because, you know, there's nothing better to crack Armor 20 than POW 9 Weapon Masters. It was a good tactical choice on my part.
Okay, so my deployment, the Earthbreaker went right in the middle of the board, and he was flanked on both sides by the Boomhauer unit, and behind him was his support package of Dougal and Thor, and then Ion Hort were back there as well. Osram was up front, and then Alexia was up front to the right of the Boomhauers, and then Alexia was to his right, and then you had Gaston, and then the Gun Mages on the right flank.
Was there a reason you put Gaston and the Gun Mages on that side?
Just because I didn't feel they had really much they could do against Bastions, and so they were better off against Zealots, pretty much.
Fair enough.
It's still true, I think, but then, you know, the Zealot mini feed obviously makes them a pain in the ass to deal with.
Yes, it does. Probably the most pain in the ass unit in the game.
Yeah, possibly.
At least for one turn. Also, it bears mentioning that Nick is painting his Boomhowlers, and it drives me nuts because I've owned my Boomhowlers for 7 months, and Nick's paint job is like 100 times better than mine already. It makes me want to punch him. Oh, wait, we're in the same room. Oh, there we go. So, okay. So, Menoth turn one. Fiora allocates one focus to the Reckoner, and we start. She gets Harmonious Exaltation from the Hierophant, and then she herself activates. She walks up, she puts Ignite on the Errants, and she casts Hex Hammer on herself. It seems so weird to say Fiora activates and then not say Escort. I'm just going to have to get used to that. Anyways, the Errants, thus ignited?
Sure.
Thus buffed, ran up the table. The Reckoner runs forward behind that. The Bastions run forward behind the fence nearby. The Choir, because I'm an idiot, activates after the Reckoner had run up and casts Passage, which is no shooting on both my Repenters, but I can't get close enough to the Reckoner to get Passage on it, which is dumb. But what can you do? First time using the list, my defense, first time. Anyways, both my Repenters...
Yeah, it's not the first time you've Choir.
It's certainly not the first time I've used Choir.
Tend to do that sometimes.
It's so true. Like, the positioning of the Choir is such a weird... Okay, tangent, but a good tangent. The positioning of the Choir is a really weird thing, where you want them behind your Warjacks, except on turn one, where you want them beside your Warjacks, or even in front of your Warjacks, so they can activate, move up 3 inches, and then cast their spell, or their Choir-y thing, backwards. Because that way, the second turn, your Choir can still move up enough to get your Warjacks again. Whereas I'm going to have the problem that because my Choir activated and basically didn't walk, that on my next turn, all my Warjacks have run further than my Choir can walk and sing. Spoilers. So, anyways, it's a tricky little thing, and I certainly have not yet come to grips with it. And this is also a lot of infantry. I'm not used to running two full 10-man units, plus a full unit of medium bases, plus lots of Warjacks. But whatever, whatever.
But you love 50 points.
I do love 50 points. I love it more than life itself, Aaron. More than life itself. Oh, God. Okay, so both of the Repenters run up. The Seneschal runs up into base-to-base with both of them, which makes him armor 20. You know, that's pretty good. Rupert activates, walks forward, and puts Tough on the Errants, and then in something I have learned,
okay,
the book runs. So, no, not, don't say...
I noticed how you were looking at Aaron when you said, this thing runs first turn always, and stop not running it.
It's important...
Shock troopers.
Anyways, so my book ran up, and, you know, I have to say it was actually a tough decision because on the opposite side of the table, Nick has got the Earthbreaker with its knockdown torpedoes, and I'm not positive that my front line of errands are 14 inches from, well, 14, it's 18 inches from his Earthbreaker. I'm pretty sure, but I'm not positive. Anyways, doesn't matter. Book runs up, and then the Holy Zealots run up as far as they can. My plan was originally to get them in front of the errands, but that went to hell pretty damn quick, and they just bunch up around the book and behind the errants and make a general nuisance of themselves. So that basically my entire army is clumped into a, let's say, 12 by 12 inch square. So if Nick can drift a couple torpedoes in there, I'm going to be very, very unhappy. But with that, my turn is done.
Okay, so mercenaries turn one. Another thing I forgot to mention in my list is actually Hurt and John.
Oh, yes. Which are kind of important.
Pretty legit with Osram. So yeah. Anyway, so yeah, they're there.
Is it actually John or is it Joan?
I say John. I don't know. Whatever.
J-O-N-N-E?
Yeah.
That's a good question. It's male, so Joan would seem a little weird. Yeah, but it's that also, would be weird. It's also a male ogre.
It's also not Earth.
Yeah, so he comes. And what the hell's his name? Ursk. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Irusk.
Whatever. Say what you want.
Anyways.
No, that one's easy. Irusk.
It's not.
I
know. I know.
It's your problem, not anyone else's.
Anyway, mercenaries turn one. Osmond goes first. He puts Sniper in the Earthbreaker, fire for effect on John. He moves up 4 inches. Boom Howlers go four up tough and then run headlong into the air. And so I'm like, you know what? They're going to be in range anyway. Let's just see how this four up tough is all what's cracked up to be. It's only my second time running Boom Howlers before, so expect many, many errors. also, like, forgot. Actually, I didn't forget any tough rules this turn.
That's true.
This game, anyway. Okay, so Earthbreaker runs up behind Boom Howlers. The Gun Mages, they run up and kind of just spread out in the right flank. Gaston runs up behind the forest for whatever reason. Everything in front of him has Hunter. and I mean, I didn't care. I didn't think that he would be worth killing anyway. Mm. Hurt and John run up behind the Boom Howlers, and then Alexia and her crew just kind of run up behind the forest as well. Ayana and her boy toy run up behind Osram. and then Dougal and Thor just run up behind the Earthbreaker and, you know, pat it for good luck.
Friendly butt pats.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, second turn with this kind of list, there's nothing I can do. I don't have any guns that are long range enough that I can actually get work done this turn.
You say second turn, you mean first turn.
Yeah, first turn. Well, I mean, being second player.
Yes, yes, there you go.
But yeah, I just kind of move my stuff up into easy kill range for Mark.
Well, I mean, okay, just to devil's advocate, you could have theoretically walked up with your Boom Howlers and shot your awesome Rat 4 at my Defense 16, 14 errands.
This is true.
Yeah, you could have done that, but you didn't. Probably a wise decision. Okay, so, Menoth turn 2. Nick has obligingly, as he mentioned, moved his entire army up into range of my army, which I'm happy with, but that Earthbreaker is kind of looming. I think looming is the right word. It's a bit ominous. It's also probably thicker armor than the majority of my army can crack, except for my Bastions, which are slow as hell, and the Reckoner, which is probably going to die before it can get much damage on there. But, you know, got to try. So Fiora upkeeps Hexhammer and Ignite. She allocates one to the Reckoner, and she camps the rest. The Errants go first. They charge into the Boom Howlers, and over a course of 10 attacks, I managed to kill 4 of them, 2 of them tough, and get lit on fire from Ignite. And I got a couple quick work shots, one of which missed Boom Howler, and one of which actually managed to hit Boom Howler himself and inflict 3 points of damage. So I'm thinking, okay, good. 2 more points of damage, and that particular thorn in my side is dead. I then activate the choir, who move up, and can only get range on one of my repenters. And so I sing a passage again to make them untargetable, make that one model untargetable by attacks, non-magic attacks. Which, in retrospect, was pretty stupid, because Nick had Ion and Holt. If he really wanted to, he would have just put magic weapons on the Earthbreaker. But, you know, never claimed to be good at the game, just that I play it. And then, the Reckoner activates, walks up, takes a shot at the Earthbreaker, which hits, no surprise, and doesn't light it on fire, but that's okay. And then at POW 13, dice minus 7, I boost damage and I inflict, you know, 3 or 4 points of damage. Not a big deal. The 2 Repenters both run to be base-to-base with the Reckoner, so to block off line of sight to basically my back line. And then I have my Vassal of Menoth walk up. It does an ancillary attack on the Reckoner, which I decide this time to try to actually put Boom Howler in the dirt. I hit him, which is a bit of a surprise, and then I wound him, and I inflict 3 more points of damage. And so I'm like, yay, he's dead. And Nick's like, okay, he's got 2 boxes left. Yeah, Boom Howler has 8 boxes, which I'm sure I really should have known, but eh. Whatever.
You did just say you owned him for 7 months.
I did. I've even used him like 5 times. I just don't remember this stuff. Anyways, so Boom Howler's still alive and not on fire. Didn't critical hit him, but, you know, whatever. The Zealots activate. They pray for no spells, pop their mini-feet, and run up towards Alexia and the Gun Mages. I'm hoping that I'll be able to lob some grenades at those guys before too long and, you know, wipe out as many of them as humanly possible. Rupert activates, walks up, puts tough on the errants again. The book walks forward and says no knockdown. The Bastions run up on the right side of the table and clump up a little bit. The Bastion Seneschal runs up and base-to-base with one of his Repenters into block line of sight again to the back lines. And then Fiora moves up, pulls the focus off a rack, which does not explode, and just camps. And that's basically it.
Okay, so Mercenaries turn two.
And you're not going to be mumbling.
Mercenaries turn two.
I'm leaving that in, you son of a bitch. I'm just going to speed it up and see how it comes out.
Well, it'll be like the chipmunks. Like, if you slow it down to half speed, it's just like a bunch of dudes like really over-enunciating.
Okay, I got my notes now.
Okay.
Merc's turn two. So, Osram upkeeps both spells. First thing happens is maintenance phase. So, one of the Moonhallers is killed by fire. One of the fire goes out. Alexia puts some Risen in behind the errands. Then Osram upkeeps both his spells, Snipe and Fire for Effect, and gives two to the Earthbreaker. Her and John go first. John aims and just shoots his super AoE thing out at some of the errands that are up on the hill. Kills one of them, makes a bunch of them tough, but of course they're no knockdown, so it doesn't actually matter.
Woo!
asshole. the Boomhallers now get a charge order, which was definitely a mistake because there were two of them that were knocked down, so they can't do anything at all. I just kind of forgot how that worked at the time. Because I figured because they were engaged, I could just stand them up and attack, but they can't do it when charge.
Right. Oh, well, and on top of that, that would have been okay, except for the fact that none of your Boomhallers actually got 3 inches on any of my guys.
Maybe and they don't really need it.
Yeah, POW 12s on our 16s.
So it was just like one of those things where it's just your gut reaction, your knee-jerk reaction is just to charge when you're doing melee, and it's just not always the correct decision.
You can charge in there.
And I'm pretty sure I've lectured Aaron about that before.
I was supposed to say, I totally just did
the wrong thing.
And Adam.
Yes.
He's lectured me about the same thing. If you can charge, charge.
Yeah. No.
Not sure at all.
Apparently not.
You only need to charge if you need either the distance or the damage output.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of times you don't need it.
Yep. So. Well, he was saying that sometimes you can charge even though it doesn't seem like you can, like going on an angle.
Mm.
That's true, but I mean, if you don't need the distance and if you don't need the
power,
the extra die, then there's no reason to do it.
Yeah, I think when Adam brought it up to me, I really could have used that extra.
Okay. Yeah.
So it was a legit.
You also have to remember that our dear friend Adam banana charges a little bit, so just because he says your model in there.
By banana charge, do you mean charging on not straight lines?
Yes. Okay. So he'll have a model he charges around to get to where he wants to go.
Well, yeah, sometimes.
Anyways. So, back to the Boomhallers charge.
Controversy. Okay. So the couple of them charge in. I think only I got like 3 attacks off, and I managed to kill 2 errants, which is sweet. Next up... Dougal and Thor go, and they put their doodads... So Artillerist and
boosted damage
tune up onto the Earthbreaker. I believe I did boosted damage this turn.
I think so.
And the Earthbreaker goes, moves up a bit, and it shoots at the Reckoner. Now he's on a hill, so it's like defense 14. Mm. So it kind of sucks to hit that guy. So I use.
If only you had a gun that ignored elevation.
I did it this time. He was defense 12 against the first two shots. So I just rolled those ones needing the sixes. And so I hit the first one, did some damage. The second one missed, scattered onto Fiora. I boosted the damage on that and didn't damage her.
Well, all the damage was boosted,
So it was boosted already. The hip guns were firing the Reckoner and did some decent damage. I guess a total of 18 damage?
Yeah.
That's pretty decent. Didn't manage to cripple anything, but...
But came pretty damn close.
But yeah, so if I'd had a little bit better spikes, it might have been better, but that happens. That was the Earthbreaker. Holt goes, he aims, and he fires at some of the errants that are engaged by Boomhallers, which maybe not the best idea, I don't know. he shoots one.
But he's a rat 10, what could possibly go wrong?
Exactly, right? I shoot one errant needing a 6, and I miss. Hits my boomhauler, kills it, no tough.
Yay!
So now I'm like, what could possibly go wrong? So I try to shoot that same errant again, which is still engaged with another boomhauler. End up missing the errant, hitting the boomhauler, killing him again, but this time at least he toughs. So, yeah,
so close.
Holt ends up is doing Menoth's work for him.
I'm sure that Boomhauer looked around and just had like a dude, what the fuck look on his face.
Yeah, did you not read that Holt is a Menite? I thought this was common knowledge.
Yeah. he's just mouthing like, I'm so sorry.
Gregor was pretty pissed. Anyway, so then I want to give stealth to the pair of them as well by going base to base. Alexia activates and heard the two risen behind the Errants do their CMA. They manage to kill him, but he toughs. The rest of them just kind of shuffle around. And I think they engage some zealots or something like that. They do something. Alexia makes the thrall. And then the thrall activates. He charges Rupert in the backfield, but he misses attack roll because hitting attack rolls isn't fun. why would anyone want to hit attack rolls? So he missed, and that was crazy times fun. Next up, the gun mages activated. They ran just around the flank. A bunch of them just ran right into the backfield, like behind the zealots. After some good advice from someone that was just having to watch the game, a couple more of them ran up just to engage a bunch of zealots, because it turns out that being in melee with gun mages is actually preferable to just all of them dying to little AoEs.
Insanity.
Yeah. And Osram also just kind of shuffles around, and he pops his feet defensively just to give the Earthbreaker that extra 2 armor, because I'm pretty sure he's going to get charged next turn.
Yeah. It's almost a pity that it only works for Rulik models, because your Boomhauer really could have used a couple points of armor.
That would have been pretty sweet. If it was just, like, friendly faction, his feet would be so much better.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, my God.
But, yeah, no, unfortunately not. It's only Rulik models.
You know, it's one of those things that people don't realize, but the Holy Zealots, they've got a really powerful grenade. Like, it's a POW 14 on a direct hit, and it's a POW 8 blast damage, so probably a good call.
7?
No, it's a POW 8, because it's a POW 12 base, and they can pray for +2. So it makes it a 6 +2 is a POW 8.
Very cool.
Yeah, so it's legitimate. In the game I played immediately after this one, I almost assassinated an enemy warcaster with 2 of them. So, you know, they're sneaky little bastards. All right, so Menoth, turn 3. By upkeeping both of her spells. Now, Osram's still out of her control range by a significant margin, but I'm figuring that Nick might actually move him up, so it's better to have Hexhammer in place, just in case. And Ignite on the Errants is still kind of important. Now, if you're looking at the pictures, you're going to be able to see Nick's last turn that there are a couple Boom Howlers between my Reckoner and the Earthbreaker, but only a couple Boom Howlers, like literally 2. So if I can get those guys dead, then I have this nice, long, clear runway for the Reckoner. And you have to keep in mind that I'm not very good at judging distances. Not good at judging distances at all. So I want to make sure that both of them die, so there's no uncertainty about getting that charge off. So the Errants activate first. I shuffle them around a bit so that I have 3 Errants on both of those Boom Howlers. The first bunch of attacks go perfectly well. It kills them. I fire off some crossbows at Boom Howler himself. Again, I either miss or I don't do any damage. On the other side, that Boom Howler, the first Errant hits him, kills him, and he toughs. Second Errant hits him, kills him, and he toughs. Third Errant hits him, kills him, and he toughs. So that son of a bitch just refuses to die. And I'm like, okay, that's okay.
He's also on fire.
And he's on fire. He's knocked down and on fire and just not dead. So I'm figuring at this point that it's probably okay, that I can probably get my Reckoner in there. But just to make sure, I want to make sure that Boom Howler dies. So I activate the choir, they move up, they sing battle on one of my repenters and the Reckoner. They can't get the other repenter in range, they were too far back at the table. The repenter that did get battle sung on it, that's the gray one, moves up and gets an angle so that it can tick the knockdown on fire Boom Howler and the Earthbreaker, sprays over both, does 4 points of damage to the Earthbreaker, hits, kills the Boom Howler, and he toughs.
Sure does.
So I'm just, at this point, I'm like, you know what, screw it. There's nothing left. I could run in a bastion, I suppose, but it's just not worth it. So in kind of a fit of momentary stupidity, I charge my Reckoner into the Earthbreaker. Now, you might be asking why was this stupid if that was the whole plan. It was stupid because Fiora was supposed to put Ignite on the Reckoner first and then have the Reckoner charge in. Because there's a big difference between a POW 21 mace hitting an Armor 23 Warjack 22 Warjack, and a POW 19 mace. But, I forgot. So, whatever. Reckoner charges up. He takes his assault shot, which hits, does a couple points of damage, and then proceeds to hit with his charge attack and both of his bot attacks. And at dice minus 4? Yeah, dice minus 3 or 4, whatever.
Dice minus 3.
Yeah, dice minus 3. I managed to wreck half the Earthbreaker and do a couple points of damage to the other side of the grid, which isn't great, but I figure that next turn my Reckoner is going to die, and then my Bastions will be able to charge in and finish off the Earthbreaker, which is an okay trade. If I have to trade a Reckoner for an Earthbreaker, I'll take it.
That's, yeah, you're trading off.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Although the Reckoner is the best 8-point Warjack in the game, no question.
And the Earthbreaker is probably the best 19-point, well, the best 21-point Colossal in the
game. Including Thor? Yes. Yes, yes, no question. Okay, so with that taken care of, I now shift my focus on to the other side of the table. Nick has a Thrall engaging Rupert, which I'm pretty sure Rupert will die if I walk away from, so I have the other Repenter activate, take a shot at the Thrall, boost to hit, hits him and kills him, and unfortunately also hits my own objective, do a point of damage there.
Ooh,
yeah, no. Could be significant, could be significant. So Rupert walks towards the center of the table, puts Tuff back on the errands, the book walks towards the flag on my right side, and says no knockdowns, because Nick still has a fully functional, or half-functional Earthbreaker with knockdown torpedoes. The Zealots activate, they shuffle around a bit, I get three of them attacking Gaston, and a bunch of them within close melee range of either the Gun Mages that Nick has engaged
with. So not within go.
And then one that has not within melee range of a big clump of Gun Mages.
Yeah.
So it turns out the Gun Mages are really hard to hit. With, you know, Matt 6, no CMA Zealots. So the guy who was trying to melee kill them just missed the Gun Mage both times. The guy who was throwing grenades did actually manage to have it scatter onto the officer and another Gun Mage, which he killed both.
Yeah, I killed them too.
With a really lucky roll. And then the three that were engaging Gaston, that's the Zealot, the Monolith Bearer, the Unit Leader, and just a random Zealot. None of them even touch him. Like, I can't hit him. They're all...
He was only defense 14, too.
Yeah, and, you know, it was weird, because if only he had some kind of defensive tech, where if I missed him once, he could move out of combat. Like, that would have been really frustrating.
Taking free strikes, yeah. That would have been awful.
Actually.
Now, well, here's the thing, though. If I had done that in the first time he missed, though...
I was throwing grenades.
Exactly.
So you did the
probably,
right thing.
Well, unintentionally. I totally forgot he had that rule, and I almost absolutely would have done it. Although, here's the thing. I could have probably just run behind you, so you can't shoot me anymore.
That would have been good, yeah. Yeah. Good call. Either ways, moral of the story is that... I killed a couple Gun Mages. Don't hit Gaston. I think I killed a couple of the Risen as well, just because they were within mace range. And then that was that. On the other side of the table, the Hierophant activates Harmoniously Exalts Fiora. Fiora pulls a focus off of a rack, which does explode, and then she moves up behind a flag. Oh, before that, the Bastions activate. They charge up and just obliterate the objective. I got all five of my Bastions on the objective, and it took two attacks, and that was it.
Well, in the first attack, left it with, like, two bombs.
Yeah, exactly. It was just horrible, horrible overkill.
Yeah. Only you've gotten those dice with your Reckoner.
Oh, God, yes. And then the Bastion Seneschal runs up to plug a hole that's between the Repenter and one of my Bastions so that the Earthbreaker can't actually see Fiora. And then that's it. So I've scored one control point for destroying the objective. I scored two more for dominating the flag. Fiora's in a bubble of no knockdown. She's camping a couple focus. You know, I've got a full line of errants and bastions between me and all of Nick's stuff. I'm safe. Right? Right?
Right.
Right.
So, Mercenaries turn two.
Three.
Turn something. Turn three. I think this turn, I activated a whole bunch of stuff. But it didn't really matter, because I was just going to go for the assassination run, and if I failed, I was going to lose the game on points anyway. Because there's nothing that I had that I thought I could reliably get into contest, that I could get into contest the flag that Fiora was standing on. I did a bunch of stuff, you know, John shot and then killed some errants, and Boomhallers stood up and killed some errants. Alexia did some stuff, killed some errants and zealots or whatever. None of that really mattered.
Well, there was one thing that kind of mattered. Alexia made a Risen into a Thrall, which then came charging at a left field at my objective.
Oh, yeah.
Full health minus 1 point objective.
That's true. And so, yeah, that Thrall did murderize that objective. Rolled, was it 6665? Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Rolled a 23 with a weapon master.
Take that, inanimate object.
So apparently thralls can do some damage when they don't have to roll the hit.
There's a lesson here. There's a lesson here.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. And it, you know, it's going to net me a point. But it wouldn't, it won't matter if I don't kill Fiora. So, I basically what I could see, but Mark could not, was that there was a little bit of a gap in his line of bastions.
Like a 1 centimeter gap. About a half inch gap.
But it was just enough that I could shuffle the Earthbreaker over his 4 inches and get a line to Fiora and then just unload everything I had on. So the Earthbreaker got Artillerist from Dougal, and he got tune-up attack rolls from Thor, which I did because she was going to be defense 15. I was going to need the help to hit her. So I tuned up the attack rolls, and so Earthbreaker shuffled over, and I immediately forgot about my Artillerist bonus.
As is tradition.
And so the first one, my left arm was crippled, so I only got to roll 2 dice on that when it was boosted. So that one missed. I was fine. I expected that. But it deviated far away. I'd use the rough terrain because knockdown is pointless in this case. And so the first one just kind of scattered, you know, off to the flank. Didn't matter. The second one, I actually rolled, I needed to roll...
You thought you needed a 10, you rolled a 9.
Yes, I thought I needed to roll a 10, but I actually only needed to roll an 8. And I rolled a 9 this one, and so it missed, and it deviated, but because I suck at this game. it deviated, still did hit Fiora, but I didn't boost it, because it was dice minus...
6.
7? 8? Dice minus 8. She was, it's power 7 on...
Oh, you're right, and she's
armor
only...
Armor 20...
And she was armor 19.
19, yeah, so dice minus 12.
Yeah.
So I just rolled it, did nothing. I went with the nipple guns and just tried to kill as much as I could. So the crippled gun got 2 shots, and the non-crippled gun got 3, so that was a good sign.
Matter of penny.
Yeah, it's perspective. The crippled gun missed both shots, so that was expected. And then the non-crippled gun hit all 3 shots. Basically, I needed to roll average damage 3 times to kill her. with boosted damage, because I had 3 focus on it. I think I left her with 3 boxes. Yeah. So just barely didn't manage to kill her. So I end my turn and lose the game on scenario. So, but we rabbit chased that if we had rolled as if I had hit her with that first AoE as I should have, that I just need to roll a 9 on 2d6 in order to kill her, with an unboosted damage roll, because I only have 3 focus.
Yep.
And I did. I actually rolled it, so, you know, it's a moral victory. So, anyway, moral victory for mercenaries this week.
An actual victory for Menno. Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, however you look at it.
Yeah. But it was a great game. And it was one of those things where, again, it's a half inch gap in my line that was the difference between just complete domination of this game and almost losing. So
without that gap, it would be... okay, here's the thing. I still might have been able to do it. Maybe not. I was thinking that there might have been a bastion that was far enough away that I could knock 1 or 2 of them down to get line of sight. But looking at these photos now, they look like they might all be within 10.
Of the book. I mean, the only... I don't even know if you can call it an option, but if, hypothetically speaking, there was no way to assassinate Fiora, the Earthbreaker gets tune up from what's-his-name-who's-its-face for attack rolls. It shuffles over into a position where it can do a sweep on the 3 errants I have engaging the Boom Howler, and maybe hit one of my bastions. And if it can clear out that Boom Howler, who doesn't die, which, you know, unlikely, but if he toughs, hypothetically speaking, you could then run that Boom Howler behind my errants in to contest the zone. But that's really a temporary measure.
Doesn't a sweep attack hit all models?
It hits... You have to roll to hit all
It's like a Thresher.
Okay.
So he had a 33% chance of his Boomhauer surviving that Thresher. And then he can have Gregor give call of whatever the hell it is to stand up. So he stands up for free, and then he can run him, right?
Yeah.
And so under that one circumstance, he could have had a chance, but it's...
No, yeah, there really wasn't much of a chance.
No.
Well, that would have prevented Nick from losing on that turn.
Right. Yeah. It
would have delayed the inevitable, really. Yeah. Because, all they need to kill is one model and then it's on turn.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was the game.
So we do the moral victor first.
I'll leave it up to you. Do you want to do the moral victory or the...
We'll do the real one.
The points victory. All right. So... we'll start with me, and... Okay, first off is feat use.
NA?
Well, I didn't use it Do you think there was a time I should have?
Not really. I mean, because any time you would have used it, you might have gotten, like, 3 boom howlers.
Right.
2 of whom were already on fire. it kind of just didn't come up in this game. Now, if you're playing for the feet, like, the feet is so important, you could have run her on the other side of the board and killed everything.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of
like
crap.
Just like, you know, you would just basically automatically kill 1/3 of all my gun mages and all arisen, which is something.
Well, not necessarily bad.
But
I don't know if that's worth losing the game over, no. Which is...
So I think I'd give you just a solid NA.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So now we're on to tactics. Aaron, what did you think of my tactical performance?
Pretty good. I mean, you really sort of facilitated Nick not really moving very far out of his deployment zone. But I think that's also a symptom of just the dwarves having very small legs. And you want to kind of... I guess you're sort of trying to protect the Colossal, because that's the kind of linchpin of this, of the army. But yeah, you really got right up into his face. Not the Seneschal, the, not Aaron's, Bastions.
Bastions.
Leaving a gap was...
So dumb. So dumb.
Bad. I mean, you did say that the gap was there just because the sculpts themselves are difficult to maneuver into base-to-base.
Yeah.
But still, leaving even that large of a gap is a lot of room for... in this case, only
it's
one.
It's a 1 centimeter gap that you can fit in Earthbreaker's room.
Apparently. Yeah.
Right kind of move.
Oh, God.
In this case, it was just the Earthbreaker that was there. But, I mean, in other situations, there could be multiple units that could get line of sight.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Could, and then that just compounds the issue.
Yeah.
I mean, that almost lost you the game.
It did.
It lost you in the moral.
The more
it was just keep twisting that knife, Nick. Okay, so about the moral game, your odds of killing me on 9 on 2d6 are 1 in 3. So
hey, odd schmods, I rolled it and I hit the 9. That's
66% of the time, boom, I won this game. So, anyways,
those aren't good odds to play.
No, I would not risk a 1/3 assassination. No, it's a valid point, and I think overall the Zealots did the job that I wanted them to do. They tied up Nick's accurate gun mages. They had threat on Alexei, although they never actually managed to lob any bombs towards her. And they basically held down that zone, that far flag, so that Nick wouldn't be able to score any points on it, which, you know, is more or less what they were there for. The Errants did their standard job of being a blade of armor for the rest of my army. They absorbed a great deal of damage. All of John's shots went into them. I think a bunch of the Risen, you know, tried to do CMAs on them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, they did a good job. The Repenters, I didn't use terribly well. But again, this army isn't well designed for them. And the Bastions, I'm happy with, despite that 1 centimeter gap. It's just, now that you're looking, I'm looking at the pictures, it's just like, how could you miss that?
Yeah.
Like this giant blowing, airline landing strip for like, this is where the Earthbreaker has to go. And you know what? Insult onto injury. The Earthbreaker shuffled over to get line of sight and could shuffle over just enough
to stay in melee range
for Reckoner. Like, yeah. Like a millimeter. Like if he just had to shuffle over a little bit more, I got a free strike on him. And that could have made a big deal because one of his guns was already crippled.
Exactly,
so.
Yeah.
So yeah, overall, I think tactically I did okay, just not brilliant.
Yeah. One thing I was going to bring up, it wasn't really, I don't think you could have done it anyways. The one boom howler that just would not die.
Yeah.
It's bitch. You didn't have the option because I don't think you have the jack that you wanted to charge has an open fist?
It does not.
Okay, so it didn't matter. None of the jacks had open fists. In a situation where you have one model that just either won't die or you want to guarantee that it's going to be out of the way, I think it would be tactically a good idea to do with, like, a sound idea to do a throw instead.
Right. Just get it
just,
the hell out of the way.
Just get it out of the way. I don't care if it's dead. It needs to be out of the way.
No, that's not a bad suggestion.
It didn't work here because you didn't have the option to do it, but that's what I was thinking the whole time. Like, man, if you could just throw that guy.
You know, I could have slammed it with my Repenter if I had been thinking, and that would slam it back into the Earthbreaker at the time, which may have killed it, and even if it didn't kill it, would at least move it out of the way so that my Reckoner would get distance, but... It turns out I didn't really need it.
The way in this particular instance, the way that you have your jacks set up, the way that they're positioned, I don't think it would work because if you had slammed it or tried to throw it, you would just be blocking the lane
I needed
for
to charge
the jack you want to charge. So
I was hyper aware of that. I was going to end up choking my own charge lane, but it ended up not being a major issue. But Nick, what do you think about how it performed?
Yeah, well, I was actually kind of alarmed when you did do the Repenter before the Reckoner, because I thought that you might put him where it would block your own charge lane. I was okay with it, but it just I was watching where you were putting him, and I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it turned out you could get him in there, but like it you know, a couple inches this way or that way, and you might have just blocked your own charge lane.
Yeah. Actually, it's one of those things that, again, to all the Combo Smite listening community, if you ever have a model that's being touched on both sides, base to base, if they're anywhere, like from the midline up, you have to move them before you charge, because otherwise the only direction you can charge is directly ahead.
Mm.
And because my Reckoner had to charge slightly off to one side, I had to move both my Repenters first to move them.
Because they're both touching them.
Because they were both touching them to block line of sight. And so I had to move them up and off to one side so that the Reckoner could then charge up in the direction he did. But, okay. Are we thinking a 3, a 4, a 2.5?
I'd give it 4.
Aaron?
Yeah, 4.
All right, cool. So, scenario. Well, I won by scenario.
No, the scenario was pretty flawless, I think, actually.
Thank you.
Well, yes and no. I mean, maybe Fiora probably shouldn't have been there.
If those bastions were base to base, she should have been.
fair enough, yeah. So if you'd been more mindful with the bastions, then you actually were quite safe.
Yeah. And the bastions are a tough unit to get through. If you have something to charge in, I can always keep a couple there just to make sure that you can't get any further. But
especially with the combination of the books. I mean, yeah, I could knock them down, but because the book was there, that was not actually an option.
Yeah. No, the book was good. Actually, probably the superstar of this particular game was the Covenant of Menoth.
Yeah, you know, I would definitely agree with that, because I killed a shit ton of errants.
And they just refused to drop.
Like, from Blast, like from John. John probably killed 10 errants that all toughed and then were never knocked down. And so by not being knocked down, it made them, A, harder for me to kill them, and it made them able to just do their job as if they nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty big deal.
Well, not even that. The second turn where you hit my Reckoner and both the Repenters next to him, if you had knocked them down, you know, you have Snipe on your Earthbreaker. It may have had range for its hip guns to be firing on Fiora on turn 2. So the fact that you couldn't see past those guys probably was pretty significant.
Yep.
So, anyways, and on the same thing here, that even if I had all my bastions in base to base, if you can knock my bastions down, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You knock them down with one torpedo, and then you open fire on Fiora with everything else. Which is kind of what the Earthbreaker is for. So, anyways. For the scenario, I think I did okay. I am kind of in agreement with Nick. We're moving Fiora in base to base with the flag. Might have been overkill. I could have just controlled the flag and gotten 1 point per turn. That would have put me in 1, 2, 3, 4 points at the end of Nick's turn, and then I would have ended my turn and gotten the 5th. Anyways, without Fiora being threatened.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate.
And also, you know, keep in mind that I'm not good at this game. and so if this had been like a tournament situation, I kind of have a feeling that another player, like a good player, would have just killed you somehow.
Yeah.
I almost did. You know, morally I did.
Keep twisting that knife, brother. Just keep twisting. I don't think you played, well, again, we'll get to you in a minute, but I think that Fiora was a little bit exposed for the scenario victory. It was a risk in that I didn't need to take it, is really what it boils down to.
Yeah.
That she was safe, there was no need for her to be up there, and, you know,
yeah, but that comes down to tactics, not your
scenario
awareness.
Fair enough.
Should be pretty high, hence the win.
Fair enough. I did let Nick get a single point because of that brawl.
I wouldn't say death.
You can't really stop.
You can't stop.
You can't stop Alexia. She's got tricks.
Yeah. Okay, so 4-ish.
Yeah.
Okay, and luck. Nick did mention that John killed an inordinate amount of tightly packed errands, most of which toughed.
Yeah, he toughed a ton of them. We should have kept track, actually.
That's a good point. So, a lot of
tough tally's fun. I liked him tough tally.
But, so I had unquestionably good luck there. Nick also mentioned that the Earthbreaker needed relatively average rolls in order to kill Fiora, and just couldn't quite nail it 3 times in a row.
One spike would have done it, kind of thing. Like,
yeah. So, no dice there. But, overall, my luck was, you know, on the good side of average. I missed some attacks. I couldn't hit Gaston, but I needed, like, I think 10s to hit him, or maybe 8s. But either way, it doesn't matter. I think my luck was probably on the 4-ish side again. Disagreement?
Yeah, okay, yeah. It was above average.
Okay.
Sure. I agree.
We did not play time turns. No, we played Death Clock.
Yeah, we played Death Clock.
Yeah, we played Death Clock. I completely forgot about that.
And it was fine.
Yeah, we had half hour left.
This was a short game.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, our games usually go longer than this.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of the way it went down.
Did you play 60 or 75?
60. Yeah, we played a 60-minute death clock, and I think we both had 25 minutes left on it. And, you know, I went first, and I had a couple more minutes on my clock than Nick, but we were both running pretty heavy infantry lists. Nick had the advantage of the Earthbreaker, but, you know, the Earthbreaker's got a lot of guns, plus, you know, a bunch of scatters.
Yeah, I mean, they take a lot of time, and then Hearn and John take, like, 5 minutes to activate alone. Fuck those guys.
And all the work they did for you.
Yeah, actually, you know, Hearn and John are fucking all-stars.
Yeah, they did. Those guys. They did incredible.
Osram, like, Fire for Effect is just such a perfect spell for them. Like, oh, yeah. It's just like, you couldn't pick a better spell to put on those guys, on John.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, no, they're great. Now, you never fired with Hearn. Does he have to give up his attack?
No, he doesn't, actually. He has, I think it's like a range 8 power 10 missile or something like that, but so it's just like,
I know how much you love those power 10s.
You could fire with it, but like, honestly, are you really going to kill anything? And so if you lose him, then you lose the scatter shot,
right?
So it's more, it's worth it just keeping him behind and
keep him a bit safer. Yeah. All right, cool. All right, last but not least, Derptitude. Now, we've already mentioned my positioning blunder with Fiora. That's significant. Well, not with Fiora, really with the Bastions, not having them in base to base contact. Definitely a mistake. Other than that,
your usual choir derptiness.
Oh God, yes. Yeah. I'll get them down one of these days. I've only been playing them for 6 months.
Christ. No, you won't.
No, it's true. I was also going to say, forgetting to put Ignite on the Reckoner before I sent it charging off into your Earthbreaker. Now, on the one hand, it only would have resulted in 6 additional damage on your Earthbreaker.
Which I don't think could possibly cripple an arm.
Probably not. So that's the one hand. On the other hand...
And would have resulted in a absolutely dead Fiora.
Unquestionably. Because she would not have been camping. She would only be camping 1 focus instead of 2, because she pulled one off of her rack. But, so that is one thing. But the flip side is that I should have done it anyways, because I thought Fiora was safe, and if I had placed the Bastions properly, then, you know, she would have been safe.
Yeah.
So that was unquestionably, you know, a mistake that happened to work out in my benefit. So thank heavens for that. Other than that, nothing really serious. Not that I can think of. Aaron?
No.
Nick?
Everything turned out okay. But on the first turn, your errands ran up and Rupert was like, hey guys, wait for me.
Yeah, thank God that's a range command, because it was 6 inches. Rupert was screwed.
Yeah, that saved you. That he can do that in command range.
As you were mentioning, the choirs again. So
just they're only 3 inches. Yeah,
my turn ones with Menoth are just awful.
Awful. No, I was looking at the pictures even, and like when I was taking pictures, the choir was so far back that in order to get the full wide shot, I had to go so far away. I was like, dude, your choir is like on the edge of the board. What are you doing?
Yeah, I know, ridiculous. And you know, it's funny. Again, I mentioned earlier, but using no guns from the choir, like, that's why I didn't run them, so I could say no shooting them, because on the Warjacks, totally idiotic. You had an ult. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. Sure. Whatever guns you wanted to shoot with, we're getting magic weapons. Yeah. It's just, anyways. Okay, so Derptitude 2?
Sure.
2? 2 it is. Alright, moving along to Nick. So Aaron, why don't we start with you? How did you feel Nick used his feet?
You just used it defensively.
Yeah, so what Osmo's feet does is it gives +2 movement, Pathfinder, and +2 armor to Rulic Models and Troll Area for a round, which is pretty good. It's a great feat if you're running, like, an Osram tier list or a Seer Forge list. You get some good mileage out of that. You can increase the threat range of your Forge Guard, or you increase the threat range of your Earthbreaker, and you also make them nigh unkillable for it. I mean, Armor 20 Forge Guard is tough to deal with.
Yep.
You're going to hit them, but it's hard to kill them unless you got weapon masters. It makes them basically invulnerable to shooting, pretty much.
Yeah.
Which is nice. But in this case, I did the only Rulic model I had was Thor and the Earthbreaker.
Hearn and John, though.
They might have counted.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They were never shot.
It didn't matter. I think they would have counted. Anyway, maybe just Hearn, not John.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, doesn't matter. The reason I did it this turn was just because I knew I was going to be eating a Reckoner next turn, and that extra 2 armor was going to make it.
Yeah, it did, no question. Actually, sorry, I forgot. I hit you 4 times with my Reckoner, not 3 times.
So it was 8, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, sorry, Aaron, back to you.
What was I going to say? It's already been said, but it's just unfortunate that the feat would only affect the Rulic models.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
So from the get-go, you're not going to be, it's not going to be that effective.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's sort of unfortunate that you, at the point that you used it, it was only defensively. Mm. You didn't need the Pathfinder, like that wasn't a point.
Yep, Colossals have it.
And what was the other one? The range.
Plus two speed.
The range of movement didn't really matter either, because everything was probably within the charge range anyways.
Yeah. Well, even ignoring the charge, the plus two speed on the Earthbreaker, as Nick was saying earlier, it has an approximately a 20-inch assassination threat.
Yeah, basically, you get Earthbreaker, you get Snipe, you get Osmond's Feet, you get double powder rations from Dougal. And that gives you, I believe, a total 22-inch threat range with the Earthbreaker's short-range guns.
Wow.
And then 24 on the
guns. On the hip guns.
Yeah. So you could potentially assassinate a caster 24 inches away, as long as there's like, another model 2 inches in front of him that you can knock down on. Right? Yeah. So.
Well, even ignoring that, you give it 3 focus and you tune up for attack rolls. Even if the model's standing up, the Earthbreaker's still a rat 5 boosted
shots. Sometimes
shots.
You have to do that. Yeah.
So it's not bad. So the question is, in this case, you used it kept your Earthbreaker operational. If you hadn't used it, that's 8 additional points of damage, because I forgot Ignite. And if I remembered Ignite, that's 16 points of damage.
That's nearly a dead Earthbreaker, and almost certainly a cripple.
Now the question is, it was a good use. Would it have been better to hold on to for a case where you would have had to move the Earthbreaker? For example, you could.
Well, in this game, obviously not. Obviously there wasn't another technology. Yeah, that was the best.
Yeah.
I think it was perfect.
Yeah, I agree. The only point of argument would have been if my Bastions were small base models, you could have popped your feet and then trampled over them to try to contest the zone or something.
I don't think it would have range. That's still only 9 inches.
No, it wouldn't have worked, because it would have ended up on top of the Bastions.
Well, okay, so instead of getting over the Bastions, if you can get in base-to-base with the Bastions, remember that it's a 4-inch contesting zone. So
if you
can get within 4 inches of the flag.
Yeah, that's true.
But again, in this case, I don't think that would have been a better use of the thing.
Yeah, I mean, because I would have lost the Earthbreaker to the Bastions. Even not charging, they're going to...
Yeah, no question. Especially without your feet. Oh, no, you would have had your feet to protect them.
It would have been dicey. Yeah.
So I'm thinking a 3.
Yeah.
Kind of an okay use of it.
Sure. Yeah.
And I already said from the get-go, it was not going to be 100% effective.
Right.
Because of the ruling.
Because of the way you built the list.
Yeah, the list construction, you know, like, and again, you know, Osram, I think, is better in Highborn. A lot of people do run his tier list with, like, you know, High Shield, Gunkor, Earthbreaker, and then the High Shields and Forge Guard and that kind of thing. And it's not bad, you know, and you get, you know, Advanced Deploy on couple units, and you get all your upkeeps out. So it's an okay tier.
Well, on top of that, you get the hot swap Snipe on your CRA and High Shield, which is not bad.
Yeah, it's okay, yeah.
Now, is it better than John? Meh, I don't know, but it's...
Well, John is in the list.
Oh, John's in the list. Yeah, never mind. So, you put...
John is a really... they're a really good...
Okay. So, tactical performance. Why don't we start with you, Nick? How did you feel about your tactics this game?
I don't know. Like, this was the first time I run a list like this before. I'd never run Osram in Highborn before. I've only ever run him either in Tier or in Searforge.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I just kind of was playing around with all these new mercs that I just recently purchased. Like, I just, you know, I barely have owned and barely have played. I might have played them once, if that, for Boom Howlers and Gun Mages. And I've never played Alexei before, and never played Gaston before, and just all the stuff that was new. And so.
The new shininess, yeah.
Yeah, just like, it was just a list just full of stuff that I had no idea what it was really capable of. And so I kind of expected it to be a bit of a gong show. Whatever you guys think is fine.
So for the record, Alexia is a really tough model to get a hold of because she's got so many great rule interactions.
Yeah, she's amazing.
One of the players that was watching the game was commenting at one point that Nick had a very viable weapon master charge lane on Fiora, which none of us saw because it's basically a 9-inch move with Arisen, which you then turn into a Thrall, and then from that position the Thrall charges up to get onto the Warcaster, which probably wouldn't have killed Fiora, but...
No chance.
Almost no chance.
I mean, because I think she was camp at 5 that turn.
So. Yeah. But either way, the moral of the story is that neither of us saw it, and even because of that, Nick was like, oh, you know, I should turn this Risen into a Thrall and charge Rupert, because Rupert's a son of a bitch and he's going
to
die.
I thought it was better to get rid of him, yeah.
Yeah. Thank heavens you snake-eyes that one. Ugh. But
Thrall!
Anyway.
Yeah, well, I needed a 7, and so, I mean, that's 50-50, so I can't complain too much about missing that role. But...
Right. I think what I'm trying to strive here at is that mercenaries, unlike most, let's call them big boy, for, you know, just to be a little bit
condescending.
Yeah. Most big boy factions have the advantage that most of their core units are relatively simple. You know, you don't, like the errants. The errants are kind of an unconscious unit. You don't have to be fancy with them. Put tough on them if you want. Otherwise, just run them up and you shoot crap. You know, the gun mages, not complicated. You pick stuff that has to die, you shoot. Even in Kador, you know, as long as you run your shock troopers on turn one, they will do good work for you.
Not always the case. I remember them being wiped out by drudges once.
Oh, God, yeah.
Anything drudges.
Lines went away.
Okay, so most of the big boy factions, as I was saying, they have this advantage of a lot of the units are kind of common sense to a certain extent. Mercenaries, there are so many rule interactions where it's like Alexei is incredibly complicated, and the Boomhallers, you always have to be deciding between super tough, which is awesome, and the ability to stand up for free, or, you know, terror, and even things like the Forge Guard and the High Shield have a lot of rules attached to them where you have to be like, oh, so these guys are going to be slow and heavy hitting, the High Shields have the ability to fire into melee or whatever the hell. Do they have what are the eyes? No. What do they have?
The rule you're thinking of is battle charged or something?
Or whatever it is.
For fire into melee. Yeah. They have, what High Shields have is double tap.
Double tap, yes. Anyways, awesome. The moral of the story is that I think the mercenaries have a steeper learning curve than most of the other factions. And whether by hook or by crook, you decided to take as many of the complicated units as you could. I don't think you did poorly with them. I think the Boomhallers did the job that they were supposed to do. I think Kern and John did what he was supposed to do. I think the Arcane Tempest Gun Mages, okay, you didn't use them very well, but you didn't use them badly.
They actually didn't do anything in this game at all. They tied up a lot of zealots, and so the zealots couldn't do much.
Yep.
But other than that, they just kind of were there. I don't really know why they're in the list exactly. I mean, like, because in theory, they can be really good with Osram because you can pop snipe on them. Now they're shooting 14-inch brutal shots, which is pretty sweet.
Critical brutals,
yeah. And so, you know, so there's some potential awesomeness there.
Yeah.
But the problem is with an Earthbreaker in the list, you are almost always having snipe on him, and you don't want, and you can't always
trade it off. Yeah.
So
You could theoretically drop the Gun Mages and Gaston and get in a unit of dwarves again, because Osram kind of wants to see something dwarven for his feet, but I'm not suggesting you should do that. I'm just saying it's an option. Anyways, tactics, I think this was a relatively mediocre performance from you. Not bad, not great.
It was very much a learning game.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, you've already said that you brought a whole bunch of units that you just bought and just, like, put them together.
Yep.
They don't necessarily fit together.
P. Alexia, in particular, is one of those units that you kind of, I think you really have to play with her a bunch of times before you can kind of figure out how she works.
I agree.
Towards the end of the game, I was starting to get more tricky with it, you know, creating a thrall in behind lines, charging the deck, kind of thing. You know, I was starting to get, you know, at least get some ideas, but still, I mean, I think that she is a unit that definitely requires some practice.
Not to mention the fact that I think we had to remind you 7 times to take corpse tokens.
Yeah, I didn't remember a single time when someone died to measure my control to see if she got a corpse.
Yeah.
It's like you and some guys that were watching were constantly telling me, hey,
corpse. Anyways. Okay, so I'm thinking a 3, Aaron.
Yeah,
what do you think?
3.
Okay. Scenario. I think you did an okay job with scenario. You were playing a more of an attrition assassination run where I was really focusing very heavily on the scenario. Mm-hmm. So I can't really fault you for it. The game was over pretty quick, as you said. If this had gone another turn, really anyone's game, and the Earthbreaker would have been closer to contest, and blah, 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 blah. I think your only fault, this is going to sound silly, but your only fault when it came to scenario is that you picked the wrong side of the table. That you couldn't get your infantry
it really made a
up
difference.
Through that forest to contest. Because if your Boomhallers had been, you know, across from my flag, instead of in the middle of the table, if that one guy who had toughed 4 or 5 times had been within 4 inches of the flag, nothing I can do, right?
Yeah, also going second really hurt this list, because by the time I got to go, your errants were all kind of like at the center line.
Yeah, at the midline.
And so my choice was either to like hang back and completely abandon the scenario, or to basically just throw my Boomhallers at you and hopefully roll some 4s, 5s, and 6s.
Right.
You know, that was really my only hope. And you know, relying on 50-50 die rolls, can't really think it's a good strategy.
No. probably not a good strategic thinking.
But, that's what I did. I just threw them at you and, you know, hope for the best. It went pretty well. You only killed 2 of those turns.
That's true.
That's true. After that, I made some mistakes, so the whole charging thing was just silly. I should have done that.
And, yeah, I don't know. Just, and also, you know, we'll get to this in the luck section, but, you were rolling tough rolls in the champ.
I was indeed. Well, in my defense, so were you.
Not nearly as good. That one guy. But other than that, like, I was...
You got a bunch.
I filled lots. Anyway. So, for scenario, though, what we were supposed to be talking
right.
about. Yeah, like, I kind of abandoned the scenario a bit, because I didn't feel like I could get to it.
Mm.
There were too many models, you know, the one flag was just being completely surrounded by zealots, and I really couldn't, at least I couldn't do anything about it for a turn.
Right.
Right? This is nothing I could do, because I just did nothing. Right? And the other one, I mean, there was all those bastions around. Now, the Earthbreaker could probably make pretty short work of them,
Yeah, it's a question of timing and placement and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, but it makes for a very different strategy.
Yep.
If I had just sent the Earthbreaker in to contest your flag and take as many bastions as it could, I don't know, maybe we'd still be playing this game. I don't know.
3 days later.
Yeah.
Aaron, anything you want to add?
I wouldn't say that the terrain was as big a problem as just Mark had the speed to get... He basically, both the flags were almost behind him by the time your lines met.
Right.
And I think that was more of a problem. So, like, trying to get through the forest to contest, it is an issue, but I think the bigger issue was to get, once you got beyond the forest, that you now had to get beyond Mark's lines
to
contest or to get to the other objective.
Yeah. Well, there were still three errants, actually, that were alive and kicking between Nick's front lines and my bastions. So, I mean, they wouldn't have been much of a speed bump, but they were still there. So they were doing a good job. Now, the bastions, as I mentioned before, they're slow as hell. Like, they're just not a fast unit.
Yeah.
But because they're not being attacked, they're not being engaged by anything, they just got to run 2 turns in a row, which gets them 16 inches up the table. It's not bad. So I'm thinking Nick probably did a solid 3-ish for scenario.
Yeah.
Generous.
Okay. We're feeling generous. Luck. Why don't we start with you, Nick? How did you feel about your
luck? I feel like I had bad luck.
Yeah. I think you did have bad luck.
And some of it was just, you know, some bad rolls. Like, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I was having trouble.
Damn it, that's not why.
I was having trouble rolling high enough to kill Aaron's and Boomhallers, which is bad.
Which is bad.
Because they need fives. You know, like, and then every time I did, he would tough
roll. I would tough.
And then they'd be still standing in my face.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, you know, it was just your tough rolls definitely bled over into my bad luck.
Yeah. No question.
Because your errands just toughed unbelievably amount.
At the end of the game, I had 5 errands left. So you managed to kill 6. I think 5 of the 6 were killed by John. Because it was just been self-sacked.
Yeah. Most likely, yeah.
It kills off.
But I think two Risen might have killed one guy.
Yeah, once. Maybe. But no, it's a solid point. I was really making a lot of tough rolls. Your Boomhallers didn't do a lot.
Your tough rolls were off the charts, and the fact that they were also not knocked down afterwards was a big deal.
It really helped.
For my luck, and in the failed assassination run, all I did was 1 spike, you know, and so that sucks, you know, rolling below average when you just need average.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Although
statistically speaking, rolling average 3 times in a row is pretty unlikely.
Suppose.
Anyways, I agree with you. I think your luck was on the unlucky side, and one of the big ones, which we don't really talk about that often, but is a factor in your luck, you were really unlucky that I brought the Covenant. If I had brought the list that didn't have the Covenant, then this would have been a much different game.
For sure. Although, if you see an Earthbreaker across the table and you don't make Covenant, I think you're doing it wrong.
It's a tough call, but yeah. I suppose. It's certainly a compelling argument to bring one. But the problem is that my Covenant is my Prime Fiora list, and Prime Fiora doesn't really want to see an Earthbreaker across the list because she's not that...
It's not that flammable.
Exactly. This is not a flammable list.
Yeah.
Anyways.
No. And it was interesting. And again, I don't know if this list was good. I haven't seen a list like this online, looking through the list forums at all. Like,
yep.
So I don't know if this is a list that people take.
Okay, so are we thinking a luck 2, or do you think this was a solid 1?
No, it's only 2.
It's a 2.
It's not horrendously bad, but it was just, you know, I got a little bit screwed a couple times.
For the record, Aaron just nodded at me in agreement, so we're going to go with that.
Good radio.
Excellent radio. Time use, I don't think we have to talk about it. It was a 5.
Good, yeah.
You did fine. Derptitude. So, ironically, I don't... Okay, the little things like forgetting the corpse tokens on Alexia. That's not really a derp, it's just inexperience.
It's just learning pains, whatever. Yeah. Charging with knocking boom out.
That was a derp, yes.
Forgetting that you had artillerist.
That was a derp.
Very much so, yes, very much
that
so.
That was a significant one.
The +2, that's a big deal.
And other than that,
Yeah, nothing really big. I mean, I just kind of got, like, I mean, certainly outplayed, scenario-wise.
Thanks, Nick. That's one of the nicest things you ever said to me.
Eat shit and die? I try not to say anything nice, so it's probably actually legitimately the nicest thing I've said.
I'm going to go home and circle this day on my calendar. It's awesome.
But other than that, you know, it was fun. I enjoyed it. P. Alexia is bonkers fun to play with.
She is cool.
Like probably one of the main reasons why I was branching out from dwarfs and going into more of a well-rounded mercenaries list is because I can just see potential in her, and it's like for 5 points the stuff she can do is insane. Like,
insane.
She can take colossals off.
Yep.
You know, like, it's just like, what the hell?
Or clamjacks if you do it properly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. You're a prick.
That's my turn to turn the knife a little bit.
Anyway,
For the record, Epic Alexia is also really freaking cool.
Yeah,
but
cool.
Unlike Prime Alexia, Epic Alexia is a scalpel. Prime Alexia is a sledgehammer. Like, you don't have to be as delicate with Prime Alexia. She's hard to take off the table.
Yeah.
She's really solid. She's got all sorts of really neat synergies.
Yeah.
The E Alexia is the
cavalry.
Yeah.
She's also pretty cool.
The main difference between the two of them, to be honest, is that Epic Alexia doesn't get corpse tokens when friendly models die, whereas Prime Alexia does. So Epic Alexia is cool, but it's harder for her to get corpses because you have to have her up in the front lines killing stuff.
Also, you're depending on your opponent and bringing the stuff she needs to die in order to corpse.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, okay, so Derptitude 1-ish?
I guess. Yeah.
Depends. How much do you think the moral victory is worth for getting? Okay.
It's a 1.
So Derp 1. Well, thanks for the game, and thanks for listening. Before we sign off, Aaron, what are you painting these days?
I'm wondering if I should wait to say until they're finished and then spring them on you.
Ooh, I like the sounds of that. Don't
no,
tell
I'll
me.
I'll just say it because I want to post it after. I got Butcher 3.
Ooh, shiny.
Yes. And
I wait, you don't play good Warcasters?
I know.
He actually just bought a second version of Zarkova, so he could play her even if she like was at home or something.
Got it, guys. Well, that's really cool. How do you find the Arguses? Are they tough to paint?
I've only put one coat on them. I primed them and just did the hair, I guess.
Fur.
The main part of the body. I don't know why they were 3 pieces, each of them.
Really?
Which I don't really understand.
Yeah, it's just one of those castings.
One head was on, but one head was off. It had 3 legs, except for one hind leg.
You had to glue on a massive Argus dong.
And one huge cock. although they do both have wangs, which is funny.
I do have to appreciate that you guys keep the R rating for the podcast. You know.
Well, we got to justify the explicit tag on iTunes. Right?
I know. It's like, if it's just there because we say fuck once, it's like, oh, what's the point?
It's almost a PG-13.
Yeah.
But the butcher sculpt is... it's so good.
You like it?
It's so good.
Nice.
Now,
did you get it with a little fort?
The witch?
No, he didn't buy the $100 special edition.
No, why?
Because it comes with a fort.
That's just silly.
But what I would do, though, if I did get that, I would paint it as a pillow fort. Because there's a bunch of sandbags, right? Yeah. You can totally paint them like a pillow fort.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also got Demolisher.
Oh, cool.
So I am only missing 2 jacks now.
Which two?
Black Ivan and Berserker.
Very nice. You don't have a Berserker?
No. Weird. I have Drago.
Ah, yes. Which you sometimes use.
Today I actually picked up the Pikeman Officer in Standard.
Finally!
Yes, in my defense, I was always looking for it when we went to the store, but they just never had it, and I never ordered it.
Well, and next time someone does a bits order from PP, you have to pick up the Black Dragons.
Yeah.
Not optional.
What about you, Nick? What are you painting these days?
I just picked up... I'm still going to finish my Boomhallers next. I'm about half done.
Sure you are.
I'm half done. I haven't worked on them since Tuesday, but whatever.
They look good.
I picked up Rocinante.
Oh, cool.
So that I can start running some human mercenary warcasters at some point, because I like the idea of branching out to more of the other stuff rather than just sticking with dwarves, because the other stuff's pretty cool.
I completely agree.
So I own Ashlyn currently,
who's awesome.
She is pretty cool. And I'm thinking about picking up, like, McBane and maybe Bart.
McBane!
McBane! Because they both sound pretty cool.
Yes, they do. And finally, I'm still working on my Judicator. I've started painting the white on it. It's coming along okay. I'm doing something I never do, which is actually water down my paints. I hate watering down paints, but unfortunately I have learned that watering down whites really makes them look much sharper. So I started doing that. This means that my Judicator is probably still on target to be finished by the end of the month, which would be nice, because I really like the Judicator. I think it's a great warjack, and Menoth is a better faction for it. In this game in particular, seeing all of Nick's clumped troops and not being able to scatter on flaming 3-inch tokens of death, very sad. Okay, well, that's it for us for this week. Does anyone have anything they would like to say to sign off?
So, once again, thank you for listening to Combo Smite, and remember that if you're going to insult the dwarf, get ready to be headbutted in the crotch.